Turn with me, if you would, back to John chapter 15. In John chapter 10, our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's what he said. "My sheep hear my voice." That's what I want us to do this evening. If the Lord will speak to us, we are at the mercy of the Lord speaking to us. We can't just come in and assume that the Lord will speak to us. And so that's why we pray. That's why we call. That's why we beg. Lord, would you condescend? Would you bend down and speak to us? And if he does speak to us, I want us to hear his voice in the heart. That's what I'm begging for all of us. Everything that he is saying here in John 15 and in all of these ending chapters in the book of John, everything that he is saying is speaking of the sacrifice of himself. Everything, this is, many of these ending chapters happened in one night. And he is telling his disciples things and he's speaking of this sacrifice that he was headed to accomplish. And he is giving vital words of union right here directly to his people. And I just want us to hear his voice in them tonight. That's what I want us to hear. I want us to hear his words. These are his words. And I want us to hear his voice in his words. Verse 1, he said, "I am the true vine." As we read this, envision him talking to you. Envision him saying this to you. He said, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman." He said, everything that is going to come to you from the Father, it's all going to come to you through me. That's what he's saying. It's all going to come by me, by way of, I am the true vine. Last Sunday night, we looked at John 14, verse 6, which is right across my page, where the Lord said, "I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, the only way that you're going to enter into the presence of the Father is through me. It's through my blood, through my death, through my payment, through my sacrifice. You know, the Old Testament, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they had the holy place and then there was the Holy of Holies. And the only way that the high priest could go in representing all the people, names of all the tribes on his vesture and all that, the only way he could go in was with blood. That's the only way. If a man tried to come in any other way, he'd be killed right then and there. And that's what our Lord is saying. The only way that you're going to enter into the presence of the Father is by me, through this offering, the sacrifice, the blood. In John chapter 10, he said, "I am the door." The only way that you can enter in is through me. He keeps saying this over and over again in all of these different illustrations and all these different ways. And right here in John 15, he said, "I'm the true vine." If the life of God is going to come to you, and the nourishment of God, if the nourishment of God is going to come to you, it's only going to be by me. It's only going to be through me. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener, the one who is doing and in control of all this. Now you think about that. He is the one who has grown and cared for and grafted the vine and the branches within the vine. Our Father is the one who elected a people to save. Our Father is the one who chose those who would be grafted into the vine. He is the one who laid it out. And He's done that as He has seen fit to do that. And with that thought in mind, if you have that visual in your mind, all right, you have that visual of the Father, the vine, grafting in branches as He has seen fit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We were in this very scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And keep that visual in mind, all right? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Of God have you been meticulously, carefully grafted in to Christ the vine. Of God. Now, the amazing thing is who God the Father chose to graft in. That's the amazing thing. God the Father is the one who did this. God the Father is the one who chose this. And the amazing part of grace, amazing grace. Why do we sing amazing grace? It's because it truly is amazing. Not predictable, amazing. The amazing part of grace is that sweet sound that says He saved a wretch like me. That's the amazing part of grace. Who He chose to carefully graft into this vine. Look right here in 1 Corinthians 1 at verse 26. It says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. What does that mean? That means not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. What's that? You're looking at Him. By God's grace. Fool. Just a fool in the flesh. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Who's that? To confound the things which are mighty. Base things, low things of the world. Things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And we don't, do we? We don't. We branches do not glory in the presence of the vine. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, undone and unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. So we branches do not glory in the presence of the vine. And here's the reason why. This is the reason why. Every branch that has been grafted into the vine has been made to know this right here. This is why we don't glory. It's because every branch grafted in has been made to know or will be taught this right here. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 6, it says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verse 9 says, "For in Him," and you keep this visual in your mind of this vine and these branches grafted in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Oh, what it means to be grafted into Christ. We branches do not glory in the presence of the vine, because by Him, through Him, in Him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A body was prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. A body was prepared for Him. And it was for this one purpose right here. It was for this one purpose. It was so that all of His people could be complete in Him. He is the vine. His people are the branches. And in Him, they are complete in the fullness of the Godhead. You talk about complete. How complete are we? Well, how complete is the fullness of the Godhead? That truly is amazing. Go with me back to John 15. Verse 2, He said, "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, two types of branches are mentioned in that verse. The branch that never did bear any fruit, and the branch that bore fruit and was purged, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, do you know who the branch was that never did bear any fruit of its own? That was me. That was me. And that was you. That was all of us in our deadness. You know, we see that and you think, "Boy, I wouldn't want to be that branch." Well, we are. All of us in our deadness. Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead." In the moment that man ate of the fruit, God said, "In the day you eat thereof, you're going to surely die." And that's what happened. Deadness. Spiritual deadness. All of us are dead in our flesh. Dead in and of ourselves. All right. And do you know who the branch was that bore fruit and was purged, that He might bring forth more fruit? That was Christ. Christ was the only one that bore the fruit of life, the fruit that the Father was pleased with. Christ was the only one who walked this earth truly bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We talk about, you know, well, we need to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness, and that's true. But Christ is the only one who did. We're about to read, greater love had no man than this. But for the sake of his dead branches, this is why Christ came. This is why the vine came. It was for the dead branches. And for the sake of his dead branches, because all they were good for and all they were worthy of was to be taken away and cast into the fire. For their sake, he was purged. And when you purge something, if you're going to purge a vine, what that means is you're going to cut it off. He was cut off. He was cast away. That's what you do. He was cast away. Given to the fire. So that they might live through him. Isaiah 53 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Christ. Just listen. Don't turn. I always have you turn, especially to Isaiah 53. But I want you to just listen to it. Don't read it. Just listen to it. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, what we were supposed to get, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What does that mean exactly? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look with me at John 12. John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's Christ, the purged branch. The Apostle Paul said, being the dead branch in the flesh that he was, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But this is what he said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I was cut off. I was purged with Christ. Did I deserve to be taken away in my deadness? And did God take me away? Yes, he did. In Christ. I was crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. My being of life is only coming to me by way of, it's only coming to me through Christ my vine. He said, it's not me living. It's Christ living in me. And he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our Lord said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Look with me back at chapter 15. Verse 3, he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, no branch can bear fruit if I don't bear the fruit for you. No branch can produce life if I don't produce the life for you. And how did Christ produce the life? He was purged. He was purged. Verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, and if you have a center margin in your Bible, mine says, severed from me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, severed from Christ, we are nothing. We're nothing. But in Christ, we're made to be everything with Him. He said, in me, you're going to bear the same life that I bear. You're going to bear my life. My life is going to be evidenced in you. Look with me at John 17. Verse 10, he said, all mine are thine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 21, he said, they all may be one, Father, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. He said, the glory in verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I've given it to them. It is flowing right through me into them. And he went on to say in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, as the world, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them as you've loved me. So he said, outside of me and outside of my purging for you, you're nothing. And you have nothing. But he said, in me, with me, you're in the fullness of the love and union of the Godhead. That's amazing. Back to chapter 15, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How can we abide in him? We just read a moment ago, of God are you in Christ Jesus. But how do we stay there? How do we abide there? Peter said, every soul that has been placed inside Christ Jesus is being kept there by the power of God. The Lord said in John 17, Father, I kept them. I've kept them. There's no need in worrying over falling away. There's no need in worrying over that. We didn't have the ability to put ourselves in Christ in the first place. We don't have the ability to keep ourselves there. If He doesn't keep us, we're not going to be kept. But the God who cannot lie said, I kept them. And they're being kept by the power of God. And we just do, we have no need in worrying of falling away. God keeps His people. And He said, in Christ, we are safe forevermore. In John 10, He said, we are in Christ's hand. And Christ is in the Father's hand. And he said, no man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man. So in Christ, we will never be forsaken. None will be lost. And in him, not only are we not lost, we're not dead. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath that mind hath light. Verse 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The fruit is Christ. That's the fruit. The fruit of Christ. It's the life of Christ. It's the image of Christ. And it's all to the glory and the praise of Christ. Faith in Christ. It's all of Christ. Verse 9, he said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We didn't put ourselves in the love, and we can't keep ourselves in the love of God. But he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Before the foundation of the world, love. And this right here, what we're about to observe, this is the greatest example of love that could ever be known. That's the greatest example that could ever be known. He said in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Well, you got the Ten Commandments and you got the... What are his commandments to his people? This is what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the commandment of God the Father to his people? Hear him. What did he command his apostles as he was walking by? Follow me. They came, that man came one time and said, good master, what's the greatest commandments of all the commandments? He said, I'll give you two. Love the Lord your God and love his people. Trust Christ. Look to Christ. What is his commandment? Rest in Christ. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And how wonderful is that thought? The joy that's in the vine is flowing to the branches. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The only reason we have life is because he laid down his life for us. That's the only reason. He was purged by the great husbandman. And because of that, we live. And we have the fruit of his life in us. That was his love for us. His love, that's what sent him to the tree. That's what held him on the tree. And it was his love that gave the blood that flows to his people, flows with life to his people. So here is our cry to the Father. Thank God for the vine. Thank God for the door, the way, the truth, the life. Greater love had no man than our Savior. And let's remember that now as we observe his table together. All right, Brother Cody, you come up and read for us.